Lisa was.
I'll meeting in order. Quick roll call. I'll start. James Wilkie.
Josh Winter.
Steve McMahon.
John Solinar.
Todd Strohart.
Darren Girdler.
Lisa Hummel.
Linda Yule Taylor.
We have enough for quorum. Do I have any changes to the agenda? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the agenda? Second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Hold on.
Yep, sorry.
I'm going to have to write, I guess I'm, since we're missing Amy.
Yeah, you're secretary in that, aren't you?
No, but no. I will. But I will.
I appreciate it.
John and Josh.
Yep.
Okay.
We've actually got three different sets of minutes. The January 2025, let's just go over here. Are there any changes to the January 21, 2025 regular meeting minutes? I believe these are the ones that Amy had done some
yes.
amendments to
mm-hmm.
in order to fix a couple of typos and then suggestions for Mr. Salazar. Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes from January 2025? Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 It's unanimous. We then have the meeting minutes from January 28, 2025, which was a special session to address one issue. Do I have any changes, motions to change the minutes or amend the minutes? Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of that meeting?
Yes, sir. Motion.
We got one from Joshua.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 The minutes are from January 20, 2025 are approved. And finally, the last regular meeting, February 25, 2025. Are there any amendments proposed?
I called and I wrote some to Amy, and I think she incorporated them.
Okay.
For original draft, I offered some.
Mm-hmm.
Any other amendments to the minutes as drafted? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
I have to move. Move.
All right. Second.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 The minutes from February 25, 2025 are approved. All right. Do we have any citizen participation signups?
Nothing written.
Yeah. Citizens.
Aye. I wanted to speak on the farmer's market, but I wanted to speak when that came up.
So it's part of the department report, and I don't believe it's subject to a vote tonight. However, if you'd like to speak, you want to speak after.
Yeah.
I will allow that. I will make a note. All right. Any other citizen participation that's not otherwise scheduled?
Yeah. We just were looking for information about the repairs to Roof Farm.
All right.
I don't know if that's on your agenda tonight or not.
It is not. However, we do have a department report, and knowing that we've got citizens here that are concerned about Roof Park, do you have particular issues you would like the commission to address? We might get some answers tonight and then find out more information if there is.
Well, I mean, I think the issue is that we've been told and expecting it, the repairs to be completed. We've been advised that one of the contracts you had, there's been several, I think two contracts, is there one now pending? It's questionable, and we're just wondering if we can have some sense of where that stands with the contract, who the contractor is,
the
driving range specifically.
Okay.
But it'll be real.
Well, I tell you what, let's. I can ask some questions about that during the next section, which is the department report, and we can maybe follow up afterwards if there's other things that are not addressed that you may have questions about.
Great, thank you.
So let's go ahead and start with the department report, and we'll come back to the Roof Park as part of that.
Okay, we've got our QR codes for the parks. We've only got one per park right now, but we can order them pretty quickly. And I have a big box of all of our parks. This is just a few of them, if anybody wants to try them out. I know Councilmember McMahon tried it out, and it came up with the right park. We'll order more after we get an inventory of signs per park, but we'll put these on the main sign for now, and then we'll add on to the other signs that are around the edges of the park, if there are any.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, that all of these were only like $80.
Wow.
So and they're pretty durable, and they'll we do have to go through them all and make sure they match the park to the website, or else, you know, it's futile. But the ones that the one that you scanned did match up with the park that was the name was on the back of. Yeah, thank you. Budget, I've got numbers here. I can either hand out now or hand out later for you to take. I don't think we can crawl through this budget tonight.
No. What I would propose doing, when is your budget due to the city manager?
I'm having my budget with this, my budget meeting with the city manager next Tuesday at 3. I've given my drafts to finance and my boss Brooks Sharp, and I've been tasked with going. We put a wish list together on capital improvements, and we've got about $6 million. I've been tasked with prioritizing those because obviously we're not going to get $6 million of CIP this year, or any year probably. I mean that's a lot. And so I'm tasked with going in and prioritizing myself of what is, but the CIP is on here, and I have a handout for everybody if they want to take a look at it. And maybe when Amy gets back, we could have a quick meeting. I don't know if she's back this week or early next week.
Yeah, I think she's on spring break this week with the kids.
Okay, maybe, what's Monday? Monday's council meeting. Shoot.
Well, and
we still have time. This will just be the first cut coming up on Tuesday.
I think our biggest concern was just that we had the ability to kind of look over it before the final version is submitted, so that at least we kind of understand the direction that the department is hoping to go in, and so we have some meaningful input with it. Does anybody have, again, we can't take a vote because it's not a business item, but does anybody just want to express their preference as to when we might see this or have a special meeting or something like that?
I've got a question, actually.
Yeah,
since I'm new at this, what's our role here? Is our role to look at the numbers and go through those, which I don't think is the case?
No.
Just look through the projects and things you want to do?
Just basically the projects and the overall feel of how the budget's going.
Okay.
I don't think, you know, like the first page has a lot of zeros on it because we don't fill those in. Those are all personnel items.
Okay.
You know, that's all filled in by finance.
Right.
But we have, you know, you can look at, I think what I have on your reports are actual 23, actual 24, estimated 25, and requested 26, line item by line item. And then the first two pages is the capital improvement program, which has what we requested in 25, not necessarily what we all got, but then the 26 request, it goes out through 28. Of our budget requests.
So I think if we can have a copy of the capital improvement project schedule or ask that mm-hmm. document, which I know looks like I've got a copy of, I don't know if everyone else got one or not, the very back of the packet.
That's just a few.
Okay.
That's a different topic.
Got it. But if we could have those maybe sometime in the next.
Well, you'll have them tonight.
And then we make sure that Amy gets a copy as well.
I will.
And then we can either address it the next meeting, or if there's something more pressing, that we can set a special session.
Right, because the city council approves the last meeting in June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as long as it's enough in advance of that, so that we have at least some idea of what's in there.
Yeah. Oh no, you'll have everything that I have tonight. I can continue to send you more as it changes. And we could. I'm sure our April meeting, which is what mid to late April, would be good to really address it.
Does anybody have concerns about that timeline?
No, it's fine by me.
I'm sorry.
No, but, oh, go ahead.
Please.
Oh, I was just going to say, in answer to your question, every time we've seen budget numbers, I do look at the numbers, and I just kind of look and see, does something jump out at me as, like, why did this get so much bigger, or why did this get so
right.
much smaller, or why is this so much, or why aren't we spending more on that, or where the heck did this come from? We never talked about this. So that's kind
yeah, of... Yeah, and I will have a... I don't... You guys don't want the detail I get, but I get... You know, I'll have with me a detail. So if you say, well, what's up with this line item? I can say, well, here's what we want to spend out of this line item. And here's what jumped. Like, you know, we had to do a budget amendment with the council for the summer enrichment program.
Yeah, I want enough detail that I can see those kinds of things that I just said. You know,
okay.
I can see
yeah.
something really changed here.
Well, that's what you'll see here.
That's what I think.
Okay, I'll get that to you all before you leave.
Let's go ahead. Add it as a new business item then for the April meeting if we could.
Okay.
May I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I understand $6 million is your ask. What generally is the amount that you actually receive?
For capital improvements?
Yes.
Oh, $6. I'm kidding. No. Yeah, it's off by a couple. I wasn't as involved last year. I don't remember. What was our total, Todd? Do you have it? But is a total on there? That's Keith's.
Keith's. Here we go. Yeah, the total that they gave us last year was right about 1,600,000 underneath the CIP.
1.6.
I'm sorry. 1 million. Yeah. 1.6.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. CIP. That's about the sale. Then you add the sales tax on there, too.
Well, yeah, we get parks.
Yeah.
Parks
so, I mean,
and stormwater.
It's all mixed
tax.
In there. So, I mean, it's right around the $2 million range, somewhere there.
Yeah. Okay.
So, update on farmers markets.
Yeah. I sent you all. At some point, and it's in the packet tonight as well, Deb Henderson's response to our suggestion that we go to Heeman Park or the Centennial Commons parking lot around Memorial Fountain, which is an ideal location in our opinion compared to the Metcalf side of the park because of other activities. We can deal with the parking at Heeman Park. There's no, I mean, sure, on a Saturday we're going to have some swimming conflicts once that season opens, but like Deb's always said, the people come and go that come to the market. So we're going to have, there's park. I don't think we're going to have people parking on Olive. She talks a lot about the walkability to the park. You can walk down Olive. It might be a little bit higher speed road, but it's relatively calm on a Saturday morning. But she still is beating on the Midland side drum.
There's also parking available on Purdue, too.
Like sure.
The western end of the park. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were some of the concerns raised by staff about this location in Heeman Park?
There really weren't any. Other than maybe a conflict with some parking and putting a storage pod out there. But we have water, we have electricity, we have plenty of green space.
I know I missed a meeting, but why are they moving out of the loop?
That property's for sale.
Oh. Yeah, it's not city property, it's
owned. Yeah. Private. And then lot 4, which is the municipal lot behind it, has gotten very busy with all the construction projects going on.
And as I understand, is there a fee that is being charged to the farmers market for that use?
For
what they would be moving into if staff...
Yeah, we're proposing $500 a week. They're paying $400 to be in here, to half of this space, right, Linda? To be in one of these two halls, they're paying $400 each time they do that. But to have electricity and water and all that, and paved parking.
I think another objection she had was that it's going to be much more difficult for the vendors to get close to their sites, or their tents or whatever, at the place you're proposing now, at the fountain, than it would be if you came in off Midland in that part of Haven Park. She feels that 7210 Midland thing is, they could drive in more readily and get to get to the tents and the tables they've got much more readily than they could at this proposed other place by the fountain. That's an objection she has, but that doesn't mean that we have to say.
Right. I guess the counterpoint to that is they can't pull into that location they were just at. They have to haul stuff by hand into into those booths.
So there's no difference really.
I don't see a big difference. I mean, they could build a little ramp, or we could build a little ramp to get over the curb, and for two wheel carts and wagons and such.
So the Midland site, Midland off Human Park, would be more convenient for them. But what you're proposing instead, the one off Olive on Olive, is more equal to what they're currently doing anyway.
Well.
I'm sort of agreeing with you.
I understand.
I've got that picture, yeah.
Yeah, they're worried about losing customers. But I think they're going to follow wherever the park is, or wherever the market is. There's just so much going on the Midland side on a Saturday morning that there would be conflict.
Okay.
You mean like just games going on?
Games, practice, people renting pavilions for family reunions. They would have, and they will have to build a small structure to enclose porta potties, or is it three-sided that they would normally do, or is it four-sided? I don't recall. But anyway, they would have to do something, and then they would have a pod out there somewhere on the property. And then we just thought that the fountain location, because we have the fountain's been completely repaired from the flood, would be a nice background for many of them.
And even with that, imagine, if you will, where the flooded cars were. My thought process, not so much by the fountain, but that whole grassy area where they could just back right in where the flooded cars were and unload.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care where they put the tents.
Yeah. I was just saying there, because that's pretty much, because I could see, yeah, you're trying to walk over maybe around the fountain, but that's a nice back end area where all those flood cars were. It's grass all up in there. It's right there. It's visible right off of Olive.
Yeah.
I don't understand what
the They're in a bit of a time crunch, though. Because yeah. They want to start April, 4th, 5th, somewhere?
Probably the first weekend in April.
Yeah, the first Saturday in April. Yeah.
Well, I understand. I mean, this is something where it's a special use, and therefore they have to fill out the proper permitting or application and the like, or that regular process can be overturned by the city manager. But that process has started for them to apply.
No, from my understanding, we were still working out location. I mean,
and
obviously that's moot, because even if it was a special event, you submit that 3 months in advance. You have to be a 501c3. So
I've been keeping the deputy city manager and the city manager up to date on this as this stuff has come in.
So I think at this point, it's not a business item, so there's no vote to be taken.
But understand.
It's nice to have an update on it, so I appreciate that.
Okay.
Any other questions about the farmer's market?
Yeah, Darren, I was not advocating for the location of Midland. I was just trying to get the data information there.
No, I understand. Okay. Next item is...
Let's go ahead. We'll have Kevin interject at this point.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Participation.
I'm sorry.
You want me to call
No.
We know you are.
All right. Kevin Taylor, 7022 Canton. I saw in the packet when it came out the letter addressed to Mr. Taylor from Deb Henderson. and I guess her concern and comparison of what it was. And she mentioned 6 points. And I guess first and foremost, you know, if we have a park master plan, our park doesn't involve a farmer's market. And we've got to, again, look at the intent of what the park is for. And while her business, because that is a business for her, has concerns because her previous location was sold, that's not the city's fault. And I think it being one of the approaches, oh, poor me, this is the same organization that gets $25,000 from the city every year for EDRST money to support that business. This past year, I believe she got $40,000 from the city. So it's a concern of why we're doing this. And to say amenities, well, those are for park people to have bathrooms, to have water, electricity, not to run a business. And so anyone else that wants to run a business and utilize city facilities could potentially do that. I did a quick calculation of the 6 hours she would use in a week, that comes to about $80 an hour. So you ask me, how can I run a business and only pay $80 an hour? That's pretty good business. At $500 rental fee. So that I'm not completely cold-hearted, I did a quick look. I want you guys to look at this. I found a location using her criteria that I think would at least address some of the concerns. And this location is off of Midland and Purdue. It's an empty space that used to be a parking lot. And it has a drive-in area where the vendors can drive in, and only the vendors can drive in. They can park their trucks. They can unload at their designated site location. I did a quick count just using Google Maps, and I counted you can park 36 cars end to end down Midland. And if using what she's saying, people are in and out, those spaces would free up. So you park on Midland, walk right down the hill, you're at the farmer's market area. And using that would again address one, it's an underutilized area in the park. It has, quote, the walkability issue. I thought it was interesting because it's hard to believe people walk to the farmer's market unless you live in that area. You wouldn't walk, get farming supply, groceries, and then walk home carrying that luggage. Our baggage. So the downside of it is it does not have electricity and water. That's something that she's going to have to supply with either a generator, and then she's got to determine, well, what's the water usage, what's the water needs. The other part is bathrooms, and if she needs bathrooms, she can always put porta potties in, but that area would allow and accommodate her for putting in her storage facility. And it can remain there. It's not bothering anything. There is no baseball field that it would impact because it's all outside of the baseball field. As I said, it's a complete separate entrance that their trucks can come in, workload, the community wouldn't have to park in there. So I'm trying to give her a suggestion as an alternative, but it will incur some cost because she's going to have to get electricity. And she's going to have to be creative and find water. But if you want to try and make this a win-win, this is just a common suggestion. But I think this commission should recommend not trying to accommodate her on the, she called it 1028 Midland side. I think that really is detrimental to all the other users. And if she does not like the place on Olive, here's another suggestion. I understand her concern about timing, but that's when you're in business, you run into timing issues. And so there is no mandate that she has to open April 4th. She can say, hey, because of conditions that have occurred, I'm going to move that back. So So that's a citizen suggestion, and I'd like for you guys to at least look at that. Now, understanding that the city manager will ultimately make the decision, but you guys need to make a recommendation not to do that, so that it's on the record, because citizens like me will go back and look at the record and say, hey, that was recommended not to do that. And the fact that it will set a precedent for other organizations that will want to rent city facilities and use it to generate profit.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. That in the Long Vernon would be the other option. There's a whole big section of Long Vernon that is possible. It's on the other side of the basketball court, it's on the other side of the creek. So there's two other grassy spaces that might be alternative spots to at least consider.
Okay.
I understand, I like the parking lot. However, there is a lot of, that's the point, there is fairly firm ground over there because of what used to be there, because it used to be a parking lot many years ago. Yeah. And then the there's a sidewalk trail.
It's a bike path.
The bike path. And it might be possible to use that as part of this potentially to set up booths that they need a first service.
She was invited tonight. In fact, she double checked with me what time it was.
So, am I not mistaken though? It's not a for profit business.
It is a for profit business.
But it was a non profit.
So Amy Gaskin sent an email saying it was a non for profit, and I don't know its 501c3 status. So I honestly can't tell you one way or the other. There is a database that would tell us. If I know the proper name, we can look it up fairly quickly on the federal website.
Midwest Association of Midwest Association of Farmers Markets. To a one, but I think they 6:30 to 1:30 is their use time.
But she also wants to use it on Thursday evenings from like 4 to 8 something, and it's Thursdays, as I said before, when we're gonna have STL soccer program open.
Which was the other big problem with using the Midland side of the park,
right?
All right, update on the band pavilion.
Just a discussion. We've checked with, MSD and the DNR has a lot to do with this. They want to put up a band, they want us to put up a band pavilion, which obviously comes with amenities, because you can't just build a band pavilion permanent and then not put in restrooms or seating and things like that. But in that area of the park that they're talking about, it's not allowed because it's in the floodplain. Mm-hmm. And band pavilions are very expensive. So I don't know where the funding comes from if we're dealing with just basic, not barely, but basically upgrading our parks to standards that we need to upgrade them to.
The band pavilion idea was to put it down the hill between the playground and the creek on the Midland side. Was that the original?
She wanted to originally put it, her number one suggestion was to put it over by Memorial Fountain.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
So, and that's, you'd have to have a riser permit, and MSD, they would, they would basically nix that in a heartbeat where you couldn't do that. Because there's a 20-foot drop from the road to the ground on that. And
it creates a bowl if there's any flooding that's going to have to be.
When it floods, when the river rises, it would flood that area out first.
Just as history, that's where Starlight Concerts used to be. By the fountain. And it was real difficult, especially in the summer when the concerts are held, because you had the pool open.
Right.
So parking was unbelievable.
Sounds like there's a lot of concerns about using that particular side of the park.
And then our option two was over, basically where the band, portable band shelter was placed, but she wanted to do permeable pavers, which now MSD gets involved, and it becomes a big MSD and DNR, and then next thing you know, you get a major problem on your hand. I mean, you're probably talking about a $2 million investment on one side and $4 million on the other.
What do we do now? Just use a temporary band
shelter? You're using a portable. Temporary one.
A mobile stage.
It makes it a lot
easier. Why continue to do that?
It's in the best interest to continue to do it.
Yep.
And we have a program, maybe not this year, but in a couple of years, to replace that stage.
To hopefully replace it, yeah.
How would you just keep on going with the temporary thing? And you don't worry about long-term things flooding out when you're not having concerts and a bunch of other things.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to bring the idea back to the front of your minds. Okay.
So we have a question from the citizens here about Root Park and yes. The status on these repairs. What can you tell us?
I can tell you that I've met with the excavation, the dirt exporting company, the company that took it from Target and placed it on the site. They've got some work to do. They recognize that they've dumped some construction debris that they've got to remove. There's some chunks of concrete and pavement out there. I've got to find the plans and the ones that were initially. See, this all moved so fast. Within days, you know, we said we'd put it on the golf. We said free dirt, okay, the golf course could take it. And then they drew up a quick plan, but it was based off MSD's maps. So it's not hyper accurate like a survey would be. So they're going to go out and shoot some grades. They owe us a final grading, but they have covered up some drainage structures, and then there's the issue of irrigation, new cover sod or grass seed, and topsoil, which they don't have enough. They didn't scrape enough off to leave us with 6 inches of topsoil on the whole site. So we're currently negotiating, if you will, with the developer, Seneca, of Target, and their excavating company and their engineer, Stock. Stock sent us a proposal to come up with a final grading plan, which was about $20,000. But to do it right, it's going to cost a lot. Siding alone is $250,000. So I will have a better update or before the next meeting.
So in terms of a time frame, which I think is one of the biggest concerns.
I agree.
We've been talking about this for months now.
Right, we had the winter, which we couldn't do much, fine grading, and then the soil was either frozen or wet. So they're going to get they want to get it taken care of. It's just a matter of pulling the trigger, and who's going to pull the trigger?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm kind of confused because when the driving range went in, what was the cost for that?
The original
cost.
Okay, so the driving range actually has been there for many, many. Many years.
Maybe
2005.
Okay. The reconstruction.
Restructuring, which looks like there was a lot of erosion.
Correct.
It was redone.
And the walls down.
And the erosion came back immediately and the wall collapsed. So whoever did that didn't do a good job.
Yes, we're aware of that.
Right, I'm sure you are. And so now you've got this free dirt from Target, and they brought construction debris, and that's going to have to be what? They're going to have to dig all that out?
They're going to have to remove it, yes. They agreed. They have agreed to that so far.
Did they give you a time frame?
Soon. Yeah, we need to get a couple. We need to get a survey in there, which they have the excavating company the dirt moving company has agreed to make sure we follow the original plan. But it was never intended to be a plateau and then a drop off.
No. Right.
Where you couldn't see your ball land.
I get that. So,
yeah,
so
they need to.
But is the excavating company that brought the dirt over? They dumped all that, and they're going to come back. Are they going to excavate, and they're going to take care of the drainage issues, and they're going to sod it, and they're going to do all that?
No, those are still...
Have to get somebody else to do that.
Those are still questions, or we're going to have to do it ourselves.
Well, is this the third time it will have been done?
I'm not sure. Okay. Oh, you mean in its entire history?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So you had the initial. That was done in 2008.
In
8. Okay. That's what it was.
Then 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Erosion.
That was phase one of it. And anyhow, they came in and Ideal Landscape came in and because there's 3 foot crevices through there. So yeah. They came in and they put a new drainage system in there and then basically just came through and moved dirt around in order to get the swales proper. Right. And then anyhow, we still had some erosion issues per se.
So here, let's.
So
if we need to exactly even in order here as best we can, I'll have to go ahead and finish with the history real quick, and then maybe I'll take one or two more questions.
So and then anyhow, then at that point in time, it flips over to where the dirt came in from Target and was placed over at the golf course. So that basically, let's consider the. It was placed there, and then now it's graded out. They didn't have to have a final grade, and so on and so forth like that. And
I think
as far as like a golf course architect, at that point in time, no. Not. There was specifically for phase two, but not for, let's call this phase three,
okay.
If that makes sense.
And right now, I think the disagreement is over who's exactly going to be responsible for it. Yeah. The final grade and then the side.
Right, because as you're all aware, nothing is actually ever free.
Right.
Correct. Go ahead, one more question.
Okay, I'm trying to think. Okay, so after they regrade, if they do this and correct it, is there going to be somebody that's a golf course architect or landscaper that knows about golf courses that's going to finish that? Because you've got not only the driving range, but you've got several other supposed, tee boxes and a new
all that. Yeah, I think we're gonna use somebody more suited for golf courses for the tee boxes and the practice green.
Right.
The driving range is more of just a grading function and drainage and irrigation.
Right. One more question. Do you know how much that driving range was that a money maker when it's open?
Let me comment on that. I was on a financial advisory task force when we recommended the driving range to be put in. And the feeling was that it would bring in more golfers, a lot of whom like to hit balls in the driving range before they play. And it turns out, at least in the first couple of years or so, it did. It improved the attendance at the golf course and used quite a bit. I don't know about since, but we were successful enough at Forest Park installed one at one of their courses. I don't think the Highlands did afterwards. So the intent was to put the court driving range in to bring more customers in to use the course and pay for that. And after the first couple of years, it was clearly evident that it had worked.
Yeah, it does bring in revenue.
Yeah.
So do we know how much revenue has been lost because it's been closed for the last 2 years?
It can be calculated. It can be calculated. It's been closed since August.
There, but it was closed. It was also closed the year before because of the previous.
Okay. Okay. Before me. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. You're right.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right.
So
we
don't
know that.
I don't know right off the top of my head.
Okay.
What we can do is we can maybe have that something to bring back for the next meeting. I think it's within that budgetary...
A report?
A report, maybe just about the revenue loss and what it maybe, an offerback would have to go to see an exemplar year. The problem is that since 2020, golf for a little bit had a big resurgence because of COVID.
Yeah.
And then dropped off a little bit. And then we've had some other weather issues. So it's a little hard to say for sure. But having it there is probably still a net benefit because it will attract, as John was saying, it'll attract golfers to the course.
Okay. Well, all right. I said my last question, but I just that brought up.
Sure.
I golf. I've been golfing there for 40 years. And the guys that I golf with and the people they know, the fact that it does not have a driving range is a non-starter for a lot of people to play golf.
Yep.
And so I think, as John said, I think your name is John.
Yes.
That, you know, if you would get that thing completed and up and running, I think it would improve the revenues.
Overall.
Right, and I think maybe more so than you realize. So.
Okay.
Anyway, that's our.
We're not kicking the can on this one. We're actively on it.
Okay.
At least every few days.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you
you're
for
welcome.
That update.
I have right. one little one. Under director's report, or department report. A Ready Readers program, as we have approved. What park was that in?
It was going to be
over.
In.
Majerus?
Yeah.
Yeah. All they did was they sent me a question of what we would like to see as installation, and their number one pick is an aluminum post in concrete below surface with an angled placard, and I think that's just fine. So I'd just like to let them know, and that's their number one choice, is just instead of a wooden post, which would also be in concrete, we would just do an aluminum post in concrete with a like a 45 degree tilted storyboard for that.
I think the general
change. And then they can change out the inserts, yeah.
This would just be more permanent than the wood, is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they could reuse it, you know, every season or every few months, whatever their schedule is for a new book. And that's all I have for today.
All right, council liaison reports.
Just a couple highlights that I can give you, but I'll try to be quick. Big news that you'll all be excited about: no more lawn bag stickers. So, if you're not aware of that, it's
yes.
They were done away with. The bad news connected with that is we were running in a deficit for our trash collection, so rates are going to go up, and they're going to be tied to consumer price index over time. So we don't get in the kind of hole we were in. There's still sort of phasing over time with that, but with that, lawn bag stickers went away, and if you still have some, there's supposedly going to be a buyback program. So you might be able to take them to City Hall and get your buck 50 back.
We've got 12.
Hmm?
We've got 12.
You've got 12 of them, yeah. So I've got some too, so I just bought some a little while ago. So that's the good news on that side, tied with a little bit of bad news. About another round of bad news, the city manager met with Wesley Bell to talk about federal funding for different things and to keep us in his mind while he's out in D.C. helping us. And with all the things going on in D.C., there may be problems with FEMA, which could affect buyouts. There may be problems with Army Corps of Engineer, which could affect the retention basins that would, you know, be part of the whole process that we're dealing with to reduce flooding and electric charging stations that we had been looking to put in. Those all might just be gone. They may not. We don't know. That's where we're at with those. So hopefully that won't change. We'll get some good news on that, but for right now, hope for the best. Prepare for maybe we're going to lose out on some stuff. And then a little bit of good news. 7 Brew is opening April 14th, I believe, Monday. So that's down on the closest to the south side of Olive, closest to 170. So that's when their ribbon cutting is. So if you like coffee, there you go.
Oh, it's a coffee joint. It's a coffee place.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. I just wrote
it
down.
All right. Thank you, Mr. McMahon. We need to select parks for us to continue to look at. The list is located near the end of the packet. We need to basically integrate John into this list and take Sue out. And I think probably take Patrick off too. I don't believe Patrick is coming back.
Sue had the golf course, right? Patrick had the dog park.
Yeah.
Do we have an official word from Patrick? Would that be possible?
I think Patrick has made his intentions clear by not appearing for the last three meetings. I don't know what the process is for removal. I don't actually technically have that power, but he is kind of abandoned. So,
if he hasn't been showing up, I think it can just be a recommendation that you can pass to council, like council would remove him like that.
Well, he hasn't been here for since December, so for
November. Send something to Lorene because you only can get so many absences.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, can you take three parks that he wants to do, and maybe we split up the other three? Because we got Centennial Commons, Fogarty Park, that was Sue's, Kaufman was Sue's, Adams was Patrick and Ruth Park. Sue's. Do you golf?
I can't hear you.
Do you golf?
I used to golf. I've got a very bad leg injury. Let me do it anymore. Otherwise, I can still do Ruth Park Golf Course if I'm allowed to use a cart.
I don't have
but
a problem.
I can't walk downhill.
Do we have a problem with that?
Go for it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
We'll make arrangements.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
And just we'll just have to work with staff just to make sure that you're safe when you're going
okay.
out there.
Yeah, we'll work with Travis, the clubhouse, and with Kenny Morgan, and make sure that you're that you can that they know who you are, and that you're allowed to borrow a cart to.
At least
old
you,
car
you say what? Dog park for you.
Send my old car picture.
No,
I misunderstood.
Thing behind
I was going to ask, does any of us have a dog that goes to the? Dog
I have a dog, and I've been thinking about signing up.
Why don't you?
You
do
should
the dog
do
park.
This,
I will.
All right.
Patrick
and then I will do Kaufman because I always go by there anyway. And that was Sue's.
I can do.
I'll add it to my list.
I can do Fogarty Park if you want.
Okay. So
may
John
I ask
Soledad.
A silly question? In order to sign my dog up, do I have to go to City Hall? Do I have to bring the records that I presented for the up in the
puppy pool park?
Okay.
I believe so.
All right.
And then. So, Josh, you're going to do the dog park.
I sure am.
Do you use Centennial Commons?
No, but I'm up there frequently because I like hanging out with Linda.
Do you want to take it on?
I'll take Centennial Commons.
I'm retired. I got plenty of time to do stuff, so
you can have the whole list.
not the whole list.
Well, why don't you take Adams Park? There's not much to it.
Adams?
It's just a field.
I don't see that.
I don't see Adams.
Joseph Adams Park, Patrick.
Oh, Joseph Adams.
List.
Where is it? Oh, I see it.
It's
near the bottom. After Mooney.
Six from the bottom.
And then Greensfelder, there's not a lot of visitors. It's not approved currently. It is kind of just a big field with your mobility. You may not want that, John.
I can take Greensfelder.
You can take Greensfelder?
I mean, you just drive by. It's the best inspection you can do. Joseph Adams, which is
towards the bottom.
Below Mooney and above Raby.
I can do that one too if you want,
Okay.
Greensfelder.
I'll take Greensgate Park because it's right next to Hackard anyway.
John.
Okay, and I'm adding Kaufman to my list, and I'll keep the ones that I also have.
Okay.
I go to all the things.
Does anybody have Eastgate?
I'll take
just
Eastgate.
Said he would take
okay.
Who's taking Fogarty?
Fogarty is going to be John.
John.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You're going to take Fogarty.
I'll take Fogarty. I can also do Wells Park if you want, Shelley Wells Park.
We don't have that list.
Amy's on there.
Amy wants that one. Okay.
So we have. Is that? I think that fills out the list.
Yeah. It does.
I'll rewrite it and get it out.
Do you want,
I got it.
You sure you got it? Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me what we're supposed to do.
Our
suggestion is the things that we want to see are go to the park at least once or if not twice a month. At the time that you go through, if you could, any problems that you notice that are there then, please sort of immediately or as soon as you can send a note to staff. So to these guys, okay. Darren and to Todd, because we want those problems addressed as quickly right. as we can. So things like, you know, a soap dispenser being missing in the bathroom for 8 months or longer.
You mean not being there ever?
Hopefully it's all been taken care of.
Well, the bathrooms are closed right now, so.
Oh, good point. But anything you know that's sort of a big safety hazard sure. or like a serious or so. Cleanliness problem.
Okay, like I told Darren earlier, my wife and I walked Majerus Park today. I noticed not a huge number, but a decent number of limbs down.
Perfect.
They were about 1 or 2 inch diameter. So I told Darren, figure that's the best thing to do, to make sure it gets taken care of.
Exactly. And then what we'd like to do then is at each monthly meeting, also just have a brief report if there's, you know, things that you've seen going on at the park that would be of interest to the commission as a whole.
Okay.
So.
So I have, you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Ackert, James. Centennial, James. Eastgate, James. Flynn, Josh. Fogarty, John. Greensfelder, John. Heeman, James. Kaufman, Lisa. Shelley Welsh, Amy. Lewis Park, Amy. Janet Majerus, Josh. Metcalf, Josh. Miller, Lisa. Mona Trail, James. Mooney Park, Amy. Joseph Adams Park, John. Raby Park, Lisa. Ruth Woods Park, Lisa. Ruth Park Woods, sorry. Ruth Park Golf Course, John. And U City Dog Park, Josh.
Everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Do we have any inspections report for this month, Lisa? We're nodding.
Yeah. So I was in Miller Park today, and if you haven't seen it, they have like basically torn down that whole baseball field, and they took down the fencing around, and they're working on it today. It's all mud and machines and big old mess. That's what it was. So.
Yep.
Hopefully it'll turn out good. Now,
it better.
I found myself wondering, looking at it today as I rode around, is there going to be a fence around it or something? Because they've got
there'll
like
be a fence entirely around the whole facility.
So it's going to be totally closed off to people if they come to the park.
Just like Jack Buck was enclosed, and
so it's
have
like
man doors
closing off a big part of the park that people use now to walk their dogs and throw the frisbee and.
Are you talking about just the field you're talking about, not the whole park?
The entire park, the entire field,
that's
just like Jack Buck, will be fenced in.
But we'll still have west.
Yeah.
The west side, yeah.
Well, I mean, if there's nobody using it, you can go in through the gate.
Okay.
I think so.
Well,
why not?
They could lock it if they wanted to.
Oh, we could lock it, okay.
Like Jack, so basically, like, but again,
yes.
Not the entire park.
No.
You're talking
like
about
just for the park. East, just the east field
east
itself.
Field.
Just the east
okay.
field itself.
It's like half the park.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wondered that when I saw it. It looked like they were getting ready to put up a fence around it. So anyway, that was going on. Other than that, that park looked pretty good. It looked like the limbs had gotten picked up that had fallen down. And a lot of people were out using the park. Raby Park, I noticed something I never noticed before, and I know it's scheduled to be like a new playground, like, but not for a couple of years.
Oh, no.
As it's coming up sooner
yeah,
than
the
that.
Playground
because
has
been purchased. The swing set, like, I don't know if this happened, I don't know how it happened, but I mean, it's a big old sturdy swing set. It's bent.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems still like, I mean, there's kids swinging on it, so I don't know. But it's just like the metal is actually bent. I have no idea how that happened.
New playground and swing set has been purchased. It's sitting over at the central garage.
And when will that go in? Do we know?
Well, after they hopefully approve the installation by a certified installer.
Okay.
which that means it'd be July or August.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I mean, I don't think it was going to break, but I was just like, this whole thing is done. Anyway, but I liked it, looked fine. And then Ruth Park Woods had some big trees down, and I think I let one of you guys know, and
yeah, you did.
They fixed that right away. And there's been a lot of work in Ruth Park Woods. A lot of volunteers have been going in there and planting and pulling out stuff that doesn't belong. And, yeah, so.
I was
and making new little paths everywhere. I don't know, if you've never been there, there's a lot more routes that you can take through the woods. And they keep adding to them, so it's kind of cool.
Can you get lost?
I can't get lost, but I think you could.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty narrow. You can kind of see through the whole woods.
So. Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, the trail needs maintenance still. I think that's always true. It gets eroded, and, yeah, but.
How do you have a thought?
The intent is to take care of the trail this summer from both sides, from the west side and also from the other side.
I think it's an ongoing thing, though. I mean, that's my conclusion at this point. Having inspected that park for years now, it's just, yeah, you're going to fix it, and then it's going to get eroded again, and then you're going to fix it, and then it's going to get eroded. I mean, it's just, that's how
it is, vicious cycle.
I think. Yeah. So, that's my report.
Committee reports. Again, I think the budget committee, we're going to have to kind of reform these committees because of losing two people that would have been on them. I would like to do that maybe at the next meeting as well, to reform committees and have a better sense as to what each one's doing.
Do we need to put that on new business?
Yeah, it would be a new business item for next meeting. There is no unfinished business, and then for new business, we've got two. First of all, we need to elect officers. We should have done this in January. We've elected two. Do we have any nominations for, I think we've got two official positions, the chair and the vice chair. Is that correct?
I believe so. Picturing my roster in my head for this commission, yeah. And then a voluntary minutes taker.
Yeah.
I'll nominate you again to be chairman.
I second that.
Thanks, everybody.
Do you want to do it?
You're doing a great job.
No, I'm fine doing it. Again, I think I've got two more years on the commission.
And Amy was the vice, right?
I think Amy, I nominate Amy to be vice chair because she's not here. Anybody?
She
can do both. Yeah.
I second that.
All those in favor?
No, because she's not here to ask.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You don't show up.
Text her. I'll text her.
That's true. That would
I swear I'll do it.
If she doesn't want to do it, I'll be vice chair.
And I'll be chair.
Do you want to continue this the next time?
I've chaired three other boards and commissions.
I mean,
and people tell me I've done a good job doing it. This one I need to learn. There's an awful lot I need to learn yet. But if you want somebody to be vice chair, Amy won't do it. I'll be happy.
So why don't we go ahead and wait till Amy's here so we can actually do it? And again, I think you both would be fine choices to do it. That position would be on the executive committee, which means that we also need to help set the agendas for meetings. And again, you're right. If Amy's not here, then we shouldn't just force her into it.
People did that to me once. It really ticked me off. No, I'm not going to do that.
Right. Lisa has a very, very good point.
I know on that one.
Everybody okay tabling the vice chair position?
Yep.
And for chair, I've heard everybody say yes. Do y'all still want me to do it?
Yes, if you still want to do it.
I will do it.
Keep order.
Second part, grant request. Heman Park Ideas. Todd, this was...
You want me to go ahead and pitch
yeah,
it?
Go ahead and pitch.
Pitch it?
Make your pitch.
All right. So anyhow, you got two opportunities for the municipal grants that we have currently. Are number one, we have the splash pad. And all hopes, wishes, and dreams, it should be done in May. And then anyhow, they're going to be, and I'll give you an update on that real quick so you guys know. They're going to be starting on Monday, and they're going to work Monday through Friday, overtime on that, like from like 7 in the morning to 5 to 5:30 at night.
Like
with double crews, they have done
they put a concrete truck road in.
Yeah. So basically, they put two crews working on it to expedite the process. There's some other things that have to be done, but they'll be moving quickly and furiously on that once they get going if they have good weather. The second thing they mentioned earlier is that you had the second grant is Miller Park. And the anticipation is they're getting asked to work overtime today also. So that would be, you know, basically your extended hours and Saturday also. And when they mean extra hours over there, they're talking till like 6 or 7 at night. They're going to take advantage of the, you know, the daylight. So when those get closed out, then obviously that opens up the municipal grant for year 26, round 26. The meeting is in June in Maryland Heights, and then there's one in Brentwood, and I think there's one in Ferguson. Basically, go to the meeting, you get your points for that, and then anyhow, that helps out in regards to allowing you to get the points when you apply for the grant. You have to have so many points for your size city, and basically having, give me an example, like putting, let's say if we put a playground in a disadvantaged area, that would help out. And also the population, if you have individuals that have, that basically go to school and they're receiving, you know, the school lunches, that helps out also. So anything like that helps out with this particular grant. The ideas that we have currently, we talked about was, just kind of pitched it out there, was number one, since St. Louis City was offering the mini pitch and the cost for that, that would go over where the, this is option one, where the basketball court currently is on the west side. Okay, that's $140,000 basically. On the east side, you would have three pickleball courts. Then you would have to build three basketball courts currently on the right, on the Millings, on the right hand side, which would be the west side of that. The DNR said, okay, we would have to hire an engineering firm to deal with this due to the fact that we probably would run into MSD issues, and which is fine. The grant itself will be for $575,000. We would ask the city for somewhere between $30,000 to $50,000 for engineering cost. So that's a very minimal ask to have $575,000 to have three unique different things there, from a mini pitch to three new basketball courts to a pickleball court. Three pickleball courts, and that would be option one. Option two, we had discussed previously, and that was a playground across the street or across the road, and that in and of itself would cost $575,000. And there's a game time grant that would do a match out per se for anything except for the concrete, the pour and play, the swing set, and the delivery. So when I ran the numbers, it was about right around $350, I would think, is where what game time would give us. So we would match out like $350 from the municipal grant, and the remainder of the money from the municipal grant would go on to the pour and play, and you know, the concrete and everything else that we needed, the other amenities. And my recommendation is, because the mini pitch needs to be done, if we're going to do the mini pitch, it has to be done before the World Cup. And they have to have it in before June 1 of 26, which is very doable. Because the way it would work would be, we would apply for the grant in August. They would award it in November, and then they could start production and get it done easily, no problem, by, you know, and by June 1.
Is it possible to apply for both in case one does not get approved?
I don't see how they would not approve either one of them, to be quite frank with you.
Well,
it's the thing is, I think, because the fact that you have $140,000 that you don't have to pay for, and, you know, that part of it being a mini pitch, and the things you could do with it, you could say, hey, we want to put, if this is a mini pitch, we want to put basketball court, you know, let's say you can put basketball here, here, or here, or here, to have, you know, side by side, or you could put here and here, it'd be fine. A lot of people do it. They like to see multi-use courts, and also you could put pickleball courts on here too, because it's a sport court that's going down on top of a hard surface. So there's, yeah, I think that's pretty much, you know, that's kind of like the theory behind it. The idea is we'd hit different genres, different areas. You know, you'd have the pickleball, you know, that would be from the seniors on down. They're teaching it now in grade school. You have the futsal, which I, the soccer, and they, and St. Louis Soccer would actually put their own clinics there and have, you know, different tournaments. And then you'd have the basketball over here. And I think, you know, with the basketball, if we initiate the fact that we would say, yes, we're going to move forward with it, there's a good possibility if we reach out to the individuals that previously reached out to us, that things could probably, it'd help us out in regards to dollars and cents on that.
I mean, if they could even include some of the things that would have made it a nicer project, like shade.
That was like $1.5 million.
Sure.
They don't want to spend that. They want to spend sponsor money.
Got it.
Is what they want to spend on that. Not to go into too much detail. So, I mean, here, basically I'm presenting option one would be your mini pitch, basketball, and pickleball. We already had, Vernon Jones gave us the numbers on that, and it fell right in line is what it did. And they have an in-house engineer that would work directly with MSD. So it actually would, it would mesh together. So the DNR gave us a blessing already. They said they love the idea because there's a land, water, conservation area over there. The basketball court was not. So thus, we didn't have to worry about that. But, you know, it's a simple thing that when you talk to DNR, they love outdoor recreation. That whole park was land, water, conservation. So anytime you add something to it, you, they want you to add or outdoor recreation as a whole.
Does that do to us? Because that playground, we had talked many, many years ago about making it a sort of destination playground that was accessible. Where does that put us in terms of either the timeline or the plan on that?
1 year back. Just move it back to 27. It would probably give you more pre-planning to get the community, you know, behind that concept on, and letting Cutting Hammer Recreation do their work, their magic behind the scenes a little bit with the facts of, you know, did their grant writer, and also I think it just would work better in general the way it was set up. Give us more time to work on the playground because it's going to be. We're going to have an engineering firm take care of that also because we're going to. That's MSD involved because of water flow off of that. So that's just my recommendation. And
any other comments or questions for Todd or for Darren?
Well, I would say that that playground that we're talking about changing, it's not a bad playground. Kids love it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
So if we leave it up for another year, it's not like the one at Raby where you're like, should we even have this up? You know, it's
still a pretty good show.
Kids play on it all the time.
So I think we do have any other thoughts or comments.
I guess my question was just if this how is that? Is it just open? Is it just how would that be regulated? Because I can see. I'm playing pickleball. You can't play football.
Oh, hang on. Let me go backwards, okay, if you don't mind. So the ideal thing is, and it doesn't have the mini pitch area in itself doesn't have to be a trifecta. And what I mean by we don't have to have the basketball on there. We don't have the pickleball on there. But the ideal situation is they like to see that, meaning for the money of the hundred, they like to see it multi-used. Now, granted, if you put it there, I mean, you could say we could put it in later on, you know, because it's pull up thing. It's, you know, 2x2 squares, you know, and if something gets damaged, or if you want to say, hey, I want to move this and make it into a pickleball thing, pickleball court per se, then it's a sport court that goes down. You just snap in the other pieces that you would want, and you're good to go.
The only real sort of semi-permanent structure is the exterior wall.
That is absolutely correct. And then, anyhow, you can always put in basketball to the sides if you really wanted to.
But this
there's so many different variables.
No, I would say that's not an option. You need to put the basketball back there because yeah. you're taking it away.
Well, I think you're talking about a whole second court.
Yeah, so you would have, basically, you, Linda, what you would have is you get the basketball. Mm-hmm. So on the old basketball court, right. you would have the mini three pickleball courts. And then you would have next to it the mini pitch. And then to the right where all the mailings are, you would have three basketball courts, full size, bigger than the current leagues right there.
But in addition.
I was just saying it's a bonus is what it comes down mm-hmm. to, is that this area, this mini pitch itself could be used because it may not be used for soccer all the time. And so if somebody says, hey, what if you're inundated during the day and you, let's say weekdays, and you happen to have, you know, all the pickleball courts are being used and these, you can have two pickleball courts over here, you know, internally. You can use it that way. Or because you're only going to have futsal or soccer going on so often there, you know. And it's not going to be, I mean, I would anticipate, it'd probably be, the usage would probably be about 30 to 40% futsal, and the rest would, 60% would be, you know, your basketball slash
pickleball. My question was, how is it going to be controlled? Is it just going to be me and my friends, all of us, we're going to play, go play pickleball, and it's somebody there playing futsal? Are you reserving it, or is it just...
I mean, that's a great question to ask, yeah. And honestly, you know, we are moving into an era where a lot of times pickleball courts are reserved, per se, like the three pickleball courts, because they'd be standalone pickleball courts that would be reserved, you know, at that point in time. So it's something that
if you could have hours and say it's going to be reserved for pickleball use.
You're talking about in the futsal area,
and say it's reserved for pickleball use on Sundays between 9 and 12, and then right. after that it's... open play or whatever. I mean, just Linda's got a really good point.
Right.
It can be reserved.
How is
but...
it going to be regulated?
Right.
Because mm-hmm. I can regulate that gym and that soccer because
right.
it's there. Inside and I'm there. There's nobody over there. And just because you say have it with the fields, just because you say, well, I wanted to play pickleball now, well, I've got this reserved. I mean, the police are getting called because.
Right. Well, here's the deal. So if they had the reservation, right?
Right.
So if I have a reservation piece of paper, then I have the rights to that particular
right.
mini pitch.
Right.
And you could put signs up also as to what hours are available for different...
I mean, or you could just leave it out altogether. And then my only concern that, honestly, I would have is you see an empty futsal area during the entire day, you know, up to a certain period of time that could be used... and utilize maybe for basketball or whatnot like that. I mean,
and it would be nice to have it be used more often. I agree with you.
I've talked to the lady over in Alton where they did this, and they did all three of them, and it's used a lot.
And they're able to coexist on the same surface.
Yeah.
Because you can also play half-court futsal, basically.
Yeah, they can do side-to-side if you really want to, or you can do half, because really it's all about touches. So it comes back down to, you know, which way. I mean, the bottom line is put it in, figure out how to regulate it later on. I mean, if you don't want to put the basketball on right away, don't put the basketball on. If you don't want to put the pickleball inside, don't put it in. Do it later on. I think you take advantage of the fact that, you know, they already are running that particular program in the park, but they're not utilizing, you know, they're giving you an opportunity for $140,000 cost on them, you know, meaning St. Louis City, and also it would be lit by Musco lighting, which we can do. It go through control, like you turn it on and off however you want it to. So it's a thought. I mean,
well, again, all I'm saying is keep the basketball in there. Whatever you do, do not remove it. Don't think about removing it. Leave it there. Whatever else you do, I completely.
Well, adding three new ones.
That's what I'm saying, but he kept saying, well, we could think about basketball later on.
No.
What I'm saying is in the futsal area itself.
I don't have to keep it receiving myself. Just make sure that basketball remains.
Those are staples.
And whatever happens inside the futsal area, that could be that decision could be made later on.
Right. Okay.
So do I have a motion to adopt one or the other is our recommendation, or neither?
I would move to go with Todd's recommendation. It makes sense to me.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. We support the first option, which is the futsal, basketball, and pickleball.
And to apply for a municipal grant?
Correct.
For year 26, round
correct.
26.
That's everybody's understanding what they're voting
yes.
for, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then yes. That sounds like that is the desire of the commission.
We'll have more information.
Now, also. If we do run, the only thing is if we do run into an issue with MSD, maybe also flipping in there that we have the would have the option to adopt number two to go across the street.
We can come back with that.
Yeah, come with if we run into a major problem. We shouldn't come into a major problem with MSD.
I guess if you find out through the major problem, just let us know.
We will.
So
yeah.
We can come back and make a difference.
Adjust.
Adjust.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I've got a request to speak from Ms. Taylor.
Just simple. The Washington Public Art Reception will be held Sunday, April 6th from 1 to 3 in Majerus Park. And I, once they get the invitations, I will make sure that it is sent out to all the commissioners.
This is the Arnie Nadler?
The Arnie Nadler program that will be at Majerus.
What day, Linda?
Sunday, April 6th.
Thank you.
From 1 to 3. And I'll send him
the okay.
Was that from last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And as many of us as can come would be great yeah. just to be supportive of it.
That's pretty cool last year.
All right. Any other commission comments? Hearing then, do I give a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? Josh is seconding. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.